Saint Teresa, the Child Jesus, pray for us. Saints Faustina and Jovita, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Well, children, today finally it took us a couple of extra days, but you see, we finished our Lenten shrine, and there we have the cross. It's the plain cross, or the Carmelite cross, because that means that you and I have to carry that cross. That's the cross for us. Our Lord has his cross, and that's going to be our cross to keep a good Lent. And in the middle, we have our patron saint this Lent, the little flower of Jesus. That's an actual photograph of her. That's what she looked like, Saint Therese or Saint Teresa. And then underneath is a photograph of our Lord, his holy face that we're honoring. Today, we're honoring especially his crown of thorns. So there's an actual relic, a precious relic, of our Lord's crown of thorns on the little Lenten shrine. And there's a little sort of a symbolic crown of thorns there, and an angel who's holding a crown of thorns too, so that we can duly honor this beautiful mystery. And then last of all, because she's St. Teresa of the Child Jesus, as well as of the Holy Face, you see this nice statue of the baby Jesus, and that's the statue that one of the novices brought to the convent, and she had a picture taken with it once. And she was very devoted to this statue of baby Jesus, and I'll be talking about that a little bit later on, I think, during Lent. Well, what are we talking about today during Lent for our Mass, children? In the epistle of the Lenten Mass, our Lord says, "Break asunder every burden." It's a lesson still from Isaiah the prophet. "For I, the Lord thy God, am merciful." And in the gospel, our Lord himself says, "Love your enemies." Why should we love our enemies? "So that we may be children of our Father." Then our Lord says, "When thou dost alms, may they be in secret, and thy Father who seeth in secret will repay thee." The same lines from a different evangelist that we had on Wednesday as we started our Lent. So for a second time, we're really talking today about keep it a secret. How are you at keeping secrets? Sometimes children aren't very good at keeping secrets, and sometimes adults are even worse than children. It's a hard thing. And sometimes you're just burst to tell somebody, "Oh, you won't believe what I, dot, dot, dot." Can you keep a secret? It's hard to. Well, this business that we're talking about today is a secret, but yet it's not meant to be kept under wraps either. What do I mean? Well, let's see. Today, the Church gives us our third Lenten weapon. And you might say, because it's so rarely used, that it's a secret weapon. If you ever used it, wow, you could do really great things for Almighty God. Now, the general title of this weapon is off-putting, or it's not obvious. Maybe that's part of it being a secret. It's called alms, almsgiving, or alms deeds, which means essentially giving money or food to the poor, to those who are in need. Remember, sometimes we have the stories of saints who were from the very wealthy noble class, and some of these saints actually would take their dinner outside to the poor who were conveniently waiting outside the castle gate, and they would, on the other side of the moat probably, and they would give their food, especially if it was really tasty stuff, they would give it to the poor. Now, that would be a little difficult probably for us to do. If you had a tasty dinner that was served up by your mom during Lent, and you think to yourself, "Boy, am I hungry, and this looks really good," and then all of a sudden you would say politely, "Excuse me," and of course you would wipe your lips with your napkin, set your napkin down on the table, and then you would take your plate and go outdoors. Well, your mother would say, "Where do you think you're going?" And that probably wouldn't work at all. Besides, you're not likely to have a group of poor children waiting outside your door wanting to have your dinner. So what's so secret about that? Today it's more complicated. Remember this: there are all different ways of practicing charity. And really, when it comes down to it, for most of us and most of our lives and our example, it's a secret. Today we want to think about how charity starts at home, but it doesn't end at home. Today we have two brothers times two, two pairs of brothers. In spirit, we go to their church in Rome, the stational church today, and that's called St. John and Paul. They were two brothers. Their feast day is in June, and they professed the Catholic faith, even though they were going to be persecuted by Julian the Apostate. Well, never mind. They wouldn't give up their faith, and because of that, they were martyred in secret. The emperor secretly sent soldiers to their house, and they chopped off their heads, and no one even knew about it. It was a secret. But at the same time, before they died, they gave away all of their goods to the poor. So they're our example today, these two brothers who professed the faith together, they lived together, and then they died together, but in secret. Our saints, whom we commemorate at the Mass today, are also brothers. You have to get along with your brothers and sisters, children. At least you have to do your very best to make that happen, because charity really does start at home. These two brothers preached the faith, and they were laymen, and they encouraged others to practice it, even though it was a persecution. The persecution was on. The bishop had to go into hiding. But when he heard about what good these two brothers were doing, he ordained one a priest, Faustinus, and Jovita, his brother, he ordained him a deacon. And then they did wonderful works as a priest and as a deacon. They got themselves into trouble, and their death was very public. They were dragged from one city to another throughout northern Italy, and they were tortured until they finally died as martyrs. Charity starts at home, children, in your home with your family, but it doesn't end there. You're not just supposed to be nice at home, although you'd think to yourself, if I could do that, I'd probably already be a saint, and I'm sure you're right. But charity is supposed to continue. Where else would it continue? Well, in the case of Saint Teresa, it continued in the convent that she joined. The sisters there became her sisters, and that became her family. For us, it would be our church. For us, it would be our school. How do you give alms in these other family places? Well, as I say, you wouldn't be going out with your plate of food. But if you see that somebody forgot his lunch, or they see that somebody has got some lunch that's not very much fun, and you have some lunch that's pretty interesting, you might say, do you want to trade? Even though you don't really want to trade, but you could do it as a kind deed. Do you see what I mean? That's a way of practicing the alms of charity. But actually, I'm thinking about something that's a little different. It's the alms of smiling. The little flower used that phrase once, the alms of smiling. When you smile at people, it's a feast. There's plenty of food to go around. St. Teresa says it's full of gentle and joyful love, and I set before my sisters this feast, this delicious food. And even though I might be crying on the inside because it's very hard to smile sometimes when you don't feel like it, still I remember, St. Paul says, God loves a cheerful giver. So, for example, all this Lent with St. Teresa, we're honoring our Lord's holy face, aren't we? And we're thinking about the crown of thorns that he wore on his head, and that actually came down into his face and pierced his face and his cheeks, and how much that must have hurt. Well, let's remember, as we're honoring the holy face, that our face can give us away if we're not careful. We might talk a good line, but unless we're actually charitable, what good would that do? We could make everybody in the classroom cheerful, everybody at home cheerful, or we could end up being a grouch. That's what the Spanish call gruñón. Gruñón is someone who's a grouch. The French have a very similar word for that. It depends on us. It depends on our face, whether we're willing to give away our smile to others. No matter how we feel, our expression can cause others to feel gloomy, even a whole household. It's hard. If you feel sick or a little bit tired, or you feel sick and tired, it's very hard to smile, isn't it? But St. Teresa always gave everybody a smile. And indeed, she sought out sisters who are very hard to put up with. And most people would just avoid. She would seek them out and sit next to them and speak to them with a big smile and engage them in conversation as though she were having a great time. But actually, she wasn't. She did that so much in the convent, which was her second family, that her actual sisters who were in the convent got a little jealous of her. And her oldest sister, Marie, said one day to Pauline, she said, "Huh, how do you like that? I raised her from a baby, and look at that, she doesn't even talk to me at recreation time anymore." Well, the reason she didn't is that she had work to do for God, giving away her smile to those who needed it. She knew that their sisters didn't need it. So when Marie complained to her, Teresa just smiled. But one time, one of her other sisters was having a hard time doing that. I mean, being smiling and being kind to others. And so she said, "I'll tell you a secret. This is my secret. It's very hard for me. And sometimes on the inside, I'm actually sobbing. But our Lord wants us to conquer ourselves. Our Lord wants us to keep up the battle every day. And our Lord wants us to smile." And so, the sister who seemed to be her very best friend is actually the one who caused her to suffer the most, but no one ever knew. And after St. Teresa died, this sister, who was clueless, she was someone that you could say, well, she was clueless, she didn't really have an idea at all, she said, "Well, at least I know that I made Sister Teresa's life easier because she was my good, good friend." But it wasn't that way at all. St. Teresa made the sacrifice every day. What kind of a sacrifice? The sacrifice of smiling children. Probably this secret weapon of a smile is something we all could do this Lent, isn't it? And that way, we'd be wearing our crown of thorns not on our face, but in our heart, on the inside. And our heart would continue to be like those St. Valentine hearts you gave out yesterday, all full of love and kindness for my neighbor. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.